Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to Dominican Dimensions, a lively half hour of discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Jerome Zeiler, Father Charles Schonk, and we thought today we would talk about a very special virtue, and that's gratitude. Now, I think with this, I wasn't at the conversation where this first came up, so I'd like to hear what broached and started the conversation about this today. We usually end up talking about this over breakfast.
Oh, well, Father Boniface said, no, I said, oh, we have the radio show tomorrow. What are we going to talk about? Father Boniface said, how about gratitude?
Well, there you go. Gratitude works.
And Father Boniface isn't here.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought it was a good suggestion. So
that is a good suggestion.
I'm grateful.
And I'm very grateful for Father Boniface. Shout out to Father Boniface Endorf. But so gratitude has its place in the Summa Theologia. St. Thomas actually gives a certain amount of place to it in the Summa Theologia. And I think the place of it is interesting because he places it in among the virtues that flow from justice, which is not how we think about it, because gratitude isn't quite justice. So, for instance, if you work for me and I pay you $100 for your work, you've given me work and I've given you pay. So we have justice. Now, presumably, you're happy with the $100 I'm giving you. I mean, if you worked for 1,000 hours, you might not be happy with $100, and I might still owe you something. Okay? But suppose you haven't worked for me at all, and I just, out of the goodness of my heart, and because, you were a priest of God and a Dominican friar.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. That I give you $100.
Thank you. Okay? I would be very grateful for that.
Well, and let's talk about what just happened in that transaction. Because St. Thomas suggests there are two things that go on. First of all,
you're going to be sorry, Father Trump.
Oh, he has no idea.
But I knew there is a catch.
Well, it's not a catch. It's just the structure of how gratitude actually works. Because now I give you a gift out of gratitude. Now you give me thanks. But St. Thomas says that it just stop at thanks. Okay? In other words, there's a sense in which gratitude almost is flavored by the notion of divine charity, about a beneficence that we see in God who makes things and gives us gifts, that we can never repay, And yet, what does he want us to do? I mean, just say thank you, and go off about ourselves. There's the thing
What do you mean it's not just thanks?
I'm saying that, and what Thomas says is he says the other thing that is marks authentic gratitude is the desire to do a favor back for the one who is your benefactor. So it's really not justice. And he also says, very interestingly enough, that when you pay the favor back, you shouldn't do it at the same time that the first one was given, because then it just looks and feels like just another transaction. And I've met people like this, people who can't receive a favor without immediately trying to do something back. Mm-hmm. It's like they will feel beholden to the person who does a good deed to them.
Right.
Well, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gratitude comes from the Latin word gratus or gratis, which means free, right? So the idea is that this is something, right? If it's expected or due, right, then it takes something away from the gratuity.
Right. There's pleasure. When I give you the $100 freely, there's sort of a pleasure that I have as the giver. This is something I enjoy, your surprise, your wonder, your expression of thanks. And as I said, if you pressed something into my hands immediately of equal value,
like
you would be
$100.
Well, if you put give me back.
I can't just say thanks and keep it, and I could say three Hail Marys.
Well, but that would be, to pray for me would actually be to do me a benefit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and probably, you know, I mean, I think three, God can work three Hail Marys a lot with great power, more so than even $100, you know, which has got Masonic stuff on it. But yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding. You know me. I can't resist.
Okay. Yeah. We'll ignore that again. But yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that was a serious question. I wasn't just saying this for the show. Like, what exactly is it? And that strikes me as exactly right. The desire to give a favor back. Mm-hmm. Someone who's really grateful, you know, that's one thing that always struck me about, even when I was little, like someone does something heroic. Mm-hmm. I mean, to save someone else's life or something, or soldiers who are grateful for living in this wonderful country of ours. No, seriously though. And they asked them, why did you do this? Whatever it was, the heroic act that they clearly did not have to do, and it was heroic. Mm-hmm. Exposing themselves to danger and everything. And they always say this. I mean, they just automatically say it because it's true. They're like, well, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they say. I'm so grateful for A, B, or C. They fill in the blank, but...
Right. Thomas suggests that the grateful man will want to imitate the fullness of generosity of his benefactor in such a way that he will actually try to surpass the generosity of his benefactor in giving back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what you're saying is absolutely consonant with what St. Thomas says about the natural progress of gratitude.
Right. And what's given is measured by how much you have to give, right?
Right.
The obvious example from the gospel here is the widow's mite, right? She puts in the two small coins, and Jesus says she's given more than anyone else because she gave all she had. And, you know, that's the logic of the Christian life. The logic of the world is that everything has a price, you know? And
every man has his price.
Exactly, right. And but the logic of the gospel is an interior logic, right, which is, how much do you have to give, and how much are you willing to give of what you have to give? Right?
And then if I've received, if I can't even surpass you, and this goes back to, I think, your three Hail Marys, if I can't surpass you, your gift in value, worldly value, what I can do is I can try to do as much as I can with the generosity of heart in the ways I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So you often hear about somebody who grows up, a good example of somebody who put his life repeatedly in danger in World War I would be somebody like Sergeant York, who grows up a farm boy. You know, he has certain skills, are really good with a rifle, and uses it to protect his squad, to further his country's aims and so forth. He does it out of generosity. Mm-hmm. He doesn't come from much, but he's able to act greatly. And generosity, I think this is the thing. The generosity of heart actually encourages us to the heroism that makes saints.
Mm. It is. It's just saints, that's what they run on. It's like the fuel they run on. I mean, you know, you look at them and you're like, what are they? They just desire to suffer? Or, I mean, what is it, these penances and everything? But it's gratitude. They want to express their love, and they want to contribute to the salvation of souls, but it's the spirit of the saints. If we gratitude produces heroism,
right? Yeah,
I guess it's the only thing that produces heroism. I mean, apart from just incredible.
Well,
love.
Justice is to pay your dues, to give each one what is owed.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, I don't think that's an act of an act of justice is of itself not an act of heroism.
Right.
But to give a gift greater than you've been given, to give a benefit greater than you've been given, that is something that calls forth great gratitude.
That's almost a definition of heroism, that you're going above and beyond what is owed.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. For those listeners who might not know about Sergeant York, that's a great classic movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
From, what is it, the 1940s maybe? 1950s? I forget the star. Who was the star, Father? Do you remember?
I don't want to quote. Yeah,
we'll look that up. Sergeant York. It's a great old movie. Yeah, it's Sergeant York. He grows up on a farm and he's a pacifist, right? Mm-hmm. And he eventually has this inner struggle. Should I go to war? Should I not? Should I, you know? And eventually he does and he becomes a hero. It's based on a true story. You know, it's a real man.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention that, Father.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk. We've been discussing gratitude and its connection to sanctity and heroism. I suppose we, by the way, on the break, we figured out who that, the actor, it's Gary Cooper.
Great
classic movie, Sergeant York. All right. So let's talk about the opposite of gratitude, which will be ingratitude for a while. I mean, what does ingratitude look like? What can we mark it? Because that will, I think, be a certain coldness of heart. You know, I think immediately when you think of ingratitude, I mean, this gospel story of the guests who were invited to the royal wedding. I mean, the king's messenger comes. You're invited to the wedding. Please come. Free food. You know, we get a you get a wedding garment and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And no, sorry, I'm recently married. I've got a couple of oxen to check out, and you know, I've got my farm. You know, the farm doesn't let you get away very much. and so you have all this, and this is ingratitude. You know, I mean, they might realize, oh, it's an extraordinary honor. Please thank the king, but you know, I'm sort of busy.
Mm-hmm.
There's ingratitude for you. Now there are levels of ingratitude, St. Thomas says. So the first one was, as we said, you know, gratitude involves not only the fact that you get the benefit, but you need to pay a favor. So if you never pay the favor, if you never seek to give back on the gift you've been given, there's, you know, because a moral, you may not be any debt injustice, but there is a kind of moral debt that's incurred. And so to neglect to return the favor is this first level. The second one is to take no notice of the favor, to overlook thanking the one who generally did the favor. So don't even bother thanking him, which I don't think these guys did at all. And the third one is to fail to even admit to oneself that a favor has been given.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
You know?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, I deserve that. I'm owed that. What?
I think we've all seen examples of those levels. Don't. Yeah, so yeah. I just said those are the levels,
right,
aren't they?
That's right. Those are the levels. But, you know, there are people who accept favors as if they're theirs by right. You know, there are people who never thank anybody for their favors, people who never return a favor when they have the opportunity to do so.
This would be the proverbial spoiled child, right?
Well, yeah, and of course, this is the kind of thing that also spoils your life.
Yeah,
you know, sharper than a serpent's tooth is the ungrateful child, Scripture says. You know,
it's just so, I mean, just in passing, I mean, think of a grateful person. Just imagine them.
Yeah.
They're so happy. I mean, they're so full of joy.
They give pleasure to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just their life is pleasure.
Yeah.
Even if they're suffering, I mean, if they have Christian theology,
yeah,
even in that, they just. And think of an ungrateful person. They're so
well. If I
miserable.
Think I'm owed something, then I actually don't take pleasure in it. I mean, if somebody pays me for work I do, I mean, I might enjoy the fact I have money in the bank, but I mean, I don't enjoy their company necessarily. Their company. I'm not looking to renew that relationship necessarily.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I may feel nothing. Oh no, they owed me the money.
Yeah.
You know. So they don't even take pleasure in what they've been given.
Yeah.
And then they don't give pleasure to the person who's doing them the favor.
Let me ask you just quickly, because I mean, I think
they grate on you. Sorry.
Uh huh. No.
Go ahead, Father Trim.
I apologize. Strong feelings.
No, say someone recognizes in themselves a lack of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you don't have This is just a genuine question. Do you know? I would be hard pressed to answer that if, say, someone says, you know, I do see a lack of gratitude in myself. What do I do? Do you know?
Well, sometimes it's misfortune, you know. Misfortune in life wakes you up to how good you have it.
That's
right?
True. You see that all the time,
too. You know, all of us have experienced that, I think, to one degree or another. But I didn't realize how good I had it, or, you know, I didn't see the good that was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's so important to see the good that's right in front of you. You know, I remember this story about, I hope I haven't told this story before on the radio, but Thomas Merton, you know, joined Gethsemane Abbey, became a Trappist monk, and he said the first opportunity he had to go out of the monastery, he just was overwhelmed by the goodness of everyone he met, you know. And I think there's something to be, you know, when you deprive yourself, as monks do, you know, you deprive yourself of a lot when you enter a strict monastery like Gethsemane, you suddenly appreciate things more, you know. And I think you see this in countries that are less wealthy than our own, you know. You probably heard that depression is there's much higher incidence of depression in wealthy countries. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is that? Because you appreciate things more when you don't have as much.
Spoiled children.
Exactly, right. Yes.
I think also a culture of gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that so much.
Yeah. You
know, hospitality has always been something where one shows a bountiful hand, sometimes to perfect strangers, whom you do then invite into the bosom of your family and make your friends. Because in most of these cultures, you know, once you share broken bread with a person, you can't lift your hand against them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a peaceful. So think of Abraham, who entertained the three strangers who turned out to be angels. You know, he does so. I mean, when you read it, it sounds like he's standing out on the road looking for people to invite to dinner. You know, and he gives them the benefit of his time. And he's a wealthy desert prince.
Yeah.
You know, and he just shows this bounty, and God gives him even more bounty. You know, comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So favors are given and returned. I think when you're saying, what do? I think the first thing to do is say thanks. You know, I mean, I think there's a progression to all human activity, and it begins in thoughts, mm-hmm. which proceed to word and plan, and then to deed.
Okay, now so that's the levels of gratitude. Very good. Yeah, no, I've enjoyed this and learning myself, but so the levels of ingratitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the mirror image, the levels of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So the last level of that ingratitude was they don't even recognize that a favor has been given. So
yeah.
So the first thing is to recognize for gratitude that
that's
a favor has been given.
Thought in the heart. Right.
And then what was the second one?
Say thanks.
To say thanks.
So the fact of it
right.
comes to the lips.
Like you just said, sorry. Uh-huh.
Okay. And yes. The third is indeed. Yeah. You know, So how do you return a great favor?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What shall I return shall I make to the Lord for all he has given me? I shall take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what do I do for all that Jesus has given me on the cross? I take the fruit of the cross, mm-hmm. and I give him what he wants, which is me.
Mm.
You know, so I can't give more than I am. He gives everything he is.
Yeah.
So I can move in the direction of his great generosity, but I'll never match that sacred heart of his. But that's okay. I may be a small cup, but he'll fill me to the brim.
Yeah. I think one thing that really works against gratitude, especially in today's world, is perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You know, the idea that I don't have anything unless I'm better than other people or best at what I do, right? And that, I think, is really, it's poisonous to live in such a competitive world that, you know, people think they're worth nothing or what they have is not good, because they're constantly comparing. And that's, you know, Father Stephen Alcott, our pastor at St. Patrick's,
No, not at all.
He has this little saying. He has this little saying that he uses a lot: compare, despair, compare, despair. As soon as you start comparing, you're going to fall into despair, and we might add ingratitude. Right, you're going to fall into ingratitude, and you're going to be unhappy. So I just think, you know.
What if when you compare, you see you're better than everyone?
Then you're not. Yeah, that's a good point. You're not even grateful for that, because you ascribe it to yourself and your own talent and ability. Yeah. And, you know, it was coming to me because I earned it. You know, I saw this bus once. It was an advertisement for the military, actually. I forget which branch of the service, that said, nothing is given, everything is earned. You know, and it struck me that is diametrically opposed to the gospel. You know, I mean, I don't want to get down on the military in any way. I mean, I really admire people.
Grateful for that.
I really admire people who enter the military, but, you know, and of course they have to have great discipline, you know, so everything is earned in that sense. But that's not actually true, you know. Everything is not earned.
And that's why they don't go into the military. That's not why they go into the military. They go out of gratitude.
Again. Right, right.
Yeah, the heroes, it's always gratitude.
Yes. Yes, but, you know, everything is a gift. That's the logic of the gospel, that everything is a gift. And once you realize that, then it transforms your life. If you really realize that and in your daily life, it will transform your life.
So I think... you know, the practicalities are, you know, the gift is always going to be a personal gift. This is why I think, you know, there's a real consonance between the shape of charity and how it affects justice and gratitude. I mean, it's a natural virtue. You don't have to be a Christian to be grateful. But I do think it transforms the way you look at being grateful. Mm. Because in one sense, everything you've got now you see as a personal gift. From our Lord, you know, from the Word through whom all things are made, including everything that you've got in your life. So that you now have, when you receive a favor from someone, you've got two people to thank. You know, you've got both, you know, the person who gave the favor and then the Christ who makes the favor possible and fruitful and a source, maybe even a grace for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Somebody who helps you when you were in need. You know, somebody who recognizes a deficiency in you that you don't recognize yourself, that can be a favor.
Yeah.
It's not something you can earn. It's a painful favor.
Right, okay. Right, yes.
But it, and then you have to find a way to thank them and then return the favor.
Yeah. Now, I have one very practical way of growing in gratitude. I was just reflecting on the question you asked a while ago, Father Jerome. And one way is to go to confession. If you go to confession regularly, regularly, you know, weekly or monthly or biweekly or whatever, you know, make it a habit. You will grow in gratitude because God will forgive you for doing the same stupid things over and over again. He will forgive you over and over again, and you will come out of that confessional grateful every time.
You know, that's true. And what, I mean, I was reflecting on what you said before, earlier too, and about, you know, it's also true in across the world, the highest suicide rates are in the wealthiest countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mm-hmm. always that way. And you ask, why is that? And I mean, a lot is, I think, you know, when you have everything going for you, you can have an ideal in mind. You're looking at this ideal. That's where the comparison thing is really true. Like, but you're looking at this ideal and where you're not at that ideal. And you're like in your imagination of like, and the ideal, you're in your mind. I mean,
right.
And you're not looking at reality. You're looking at this mental construct, which actually may not bring happiness, but
what you see on the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it is something that doesn't really bring happiness, then, like, let's say you actually attain that, and then you see this was just an illusion the whole time. That could bring suicidal thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
But on the contrary, with gratitude, just quickly, is gratitude, well, it's about the truth. It's gratitude is about reality.
Yes.
I mean, and that's when, like, someone, you know, and I see this all the time, when hurricanes, they talk to people and they say this in the news, when there's a hurricane or something, they're like, well, I'm just grateful that, that, I mean, look at these people. It could have been way worse. You know, I just want to help these people, you know, but that the ideal is knocked out of the ballpark. Like, and you're faced with reality, and reality can bring you, you know, to gratitude.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, definitely. And strengthens the bonds of solidarity that you have with others. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens every time, you know, there's a hurricane or a blackout or whatever, you know, people come together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely.
And the reality of your sins, that ties in with confession, because now you're habitually looking at the reality of your own sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the reality of God's mercy.
The light is brighter in comparison with the darkness, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if we really live in gratitude, then the blessings that are poured into our hands by God and those who are His servants in our lives, we will freely share with others. Sometimes you can pay the favor back, not so much by giving it to the person who gave it to you, but by imitating them in their kindness to other people who are not connected to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we share blessings. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schock. Let's now end in prayer to our Holy Founder, St. Dominic, as we always do. O Light of the Church,
Teacher of truth, Rose of patience, Ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.